Hello, brothers and sisters in the Lord. We're a big family, aren't we? That's good. And it's getting bigger. That's the way it's supposed to be. And one of these days soon, that last person that's going to come to know the Lord is going to know the Lord. And then, what happens then? Then we get to go home. Home. Our opening scripture this morning, well, I think I'm going to start with prayer. I was going to pray afterwards, but I'm going to pray first. Lord, we thank you. Once again, Lord, we just invite you into our presence and we just invite your word into our hearts. We just pray, Lord, that you'd open heaven for us and just help us to receive everything you have for us, Lord. Lord, we want it all. All that you have for us. Exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. And you want us to have it. Thank you, Lord. Prepare our hearts to receive what you have for us today, please. Psalm 113, praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations and his glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God who dwelleth on high? Who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth? He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with princes, even with the princes of his people. He maketh the barren women to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. Can we do that today? Can we praise the Lord? That psalm is one of the Hallel psalms. Psalm 113 through 118 are Hallel psalms. They're all recited during Passover. Well, today isn't Passover, but today is the first Sunday of the month, the day that we observe the Lord's Supper. Some people like to call it the Last Supper, but it isn't the last one because we're going to get to have one more, aren't we? At least in heaven. The Lord's Supper. Where he said, this do in remembrance of me. Did he change it? No. It's always been what it's always been. What does Passover point to? Jesus Christ. It's interesting because Passover was implemented before the law. So it isn't a legal thing. It's a sacrifice. And as I said, it points fully towards Jesus Christ. Turn to Luke chapter 22. I'm going to start in verse 14. And I'm not really sure where I'm going with this, to be honest with you. I had the pleasure of working on something half of the week, and then, as it turned out, I needed it Wednesday night. Praise God. Because before there was a need for a study, God provided it. And it amazed me that as I was looking at that Wednesday, thinking, this isn't going to be a sermon for Sunday. Yet the need came up for it for Wednesday night. Because God knew. Isn't he amazing? We love you, Lord. We just pray that you continue to amaze us, and we know you will. And when the hour was come, this is verse 14, and when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. Did they drink the cup before they had the bread? This was the first cup. After this is when they recited the 113th Psalm. Praise the Lord. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new testament in my blood which is shed for you. This cup that's on this table here is the new testament, the new covenant that's shed for you. Everything else had led up to it. But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined, but woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. And they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. You know, Jesus may have attended, I believe he did, every year he attended a Passover Seder, a Passover celebration. But yet, this is the first time he was actually the head of what they call the head of the company or the host. This was the first time that Jesus, literally, the lamb was the sacrifice. So this is the first time that Jesus offered the sacrifice as the head of the company. It's the only time recorded in the Bible. Now, what's significant about that? Because it says in Hebrews that he offered a sacrifice for us once, and this is symbolic of the sacrifice that he offered. This was his year. This was his sacrifice to be made. He was the sacrifice that was offering the sacrifice. In Genesis 22, Abraham, after being asked where the lamb was by Isaac, said, God will provide himself a lamb for the sacrifice. Some translations say himself for. No, I don't believe that's true. I believe it's himself, because there's two meanings there. He's literally going to provide himself the sacrifice. And Jesus, according to Paul in 1 Corinthians 5, 6, and 8, is our sacrifice, isn't he? Our Passover. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Even though he made that sacrifice 2,000 years ago, it was for us. Once and for all, it was done right, it was done perfect, it was complete. As Jesus said, it is finished. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Sincerity and truth. Jesus said, those that worship the Father must worship him in spirit and in truth. Sincerity. The things that we do for the Lord, the things we do about the Lord's business, have to be sincere. They have to be real. They have to be from the heart, and they have to be from deep within us, don't they? Verse 24, and there is also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. Now, a lot of Jewish commentators, Alfred Edersheim for one, believe that this contention, this dispute, took place before they sat down. And if you look at the way they were arranged around the table, that kind of shows me that that's what happened. Because Jesus, as the head of the company, would have people on his right and on his left. And the seat of honor, you might think it's on the right, but actually it was on the left. They would incline with their feet out away from this short table on cushions, with their head resting on their left hand, so they could eat with their right. So the one that was on Jesus' left was at the head of the table. We know that John was at his right because John leaned back. John loved the Lord, didn't he? He leaned back against Jesus' breast. We know that Peter was across the way, the table. It was horseshoe-shaped, and it had part of the table that went out at one end that had all the elements and all the things. Peter was straight across from John. He was in the first seat, or the lowest seat. So what happened if there's a dispute? Maybe whoever sat on Jesus' left got in an argument with Peter, and maybe Jesus said, go ahead and sit there, Judas, because that's who it was. Peter, we know he was at the lowest part of the table because when Jesus got up to wash the disciples' feet, he went to Peter first. The first will be the last will be first, right? Who is the greatest? Jesus in Luke 14:7-10, and he put forth a parable to those which are bidden when he marked how they chose out the chief rooms or the chief seats or places, saying unto them, when thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee and him come and say to thee, give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, and when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. So who is the contention between? I think it was between Peter and Judas. Why did Judas want to sit there? Judas Iscariot. You know, that's not really his last name, Iscariot. He's from a place called Kerioth. He was a Keriothite. It was about 5 or 10 miles from Jerusalem. It talked about where he came from, sometimes occupations. That's how we got our last names. People didn't always have last names. The reason Smith is the most common last name is because there's blacksmith, there's metalsmith, there's coppersmith, there's a lot of different types of smiths, aren't they? It says that the devil entered into, in verse 3, it said, then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. Where would Satan want to sit? He would want the highest seat, wouldn't he? In Isaiah 14, it talks about a king, but yet it goes beyond a king and it talks about the power, the evil power behind the king. It talks about the devil. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend unto heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation, the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. It's believed that by some, I'm going to read Ezekiel 28:14 first. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. It's believed by many people that he was. You've seen a picture of the Ark of the Covenant? You've seen those cherubim on top? What are they doing? The Ark of the Covenant represents God, and they have their wings spread out, covering the Ark of the Covenant. It's believed that Satan was one of those. And maybe he thought, well, since I'm up here above God, then I'm better than God. And that's when pride set in, and that's when he decided he was gonna try to take God's place. Does that sound possible? Where do you think Satan would have wanted to sit? Since he'd already entered into Judas, he wanted the highest seat. And Jesus gave it to him for then. But there's going to be a turnabout, isn't there? Of course, this didn't surprise Jesus, did it? Psalm 41:9 says, "Yea, mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me." Now, this is written by David, and it probably had to do with his friend Ahithophel that conspired with Absalom when Absalom tried to take David's throne. But like a lot of things, a lot of prophecies in Scripture, there's two applications, because it also looked way beyond that to Jesus Christ sitting down at this table, sharing his bread with his enemy. We know that since Jesus handed Judas the sop first, we know that he was beside him, and that's where he was. Jesus told him, "Whatever you have to do, do now." Jesus told a parable about tares in the wheat. We see a tare here, don't we? Not here. We see it in what we're reading, what we're studying. Because Judas was a tare. And he said, the tares, just let them grow up with the wheat and they'll be sorted out. The time will come. Churches are full of tares. I don't see anybody in here that I think is a tare. But I don't know everybody's heart, do I? Today is Communion Sunday. And I'm going to ask Bill to come, and I've asked Wayne to come and help too to pass out the elements. The one part of where I'm going to read, and you know where I'm going. I'm going to 1 Corinthians 11:23-32. Paul says, "Examine your heart." And Linda talked about this during worship. Examine your hearts. That took place on the first, too, didn't it? We had the disciples examining their heart. Every one of them said, "Lord, is it I?" Because every one of them realized that anybody is capable of anything. Is it I? In other words, is it I that isn't true to you? Is it I that isn't doing your will, that isn't serving your purpose? Is it I? That's what we need to be asking ourselves. "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." In other words, I'm going to say this right now, examine yourself, and if there's anything that you have, any problem that you have with you in your life or with anybody else, talk to the Lord about it. Get it straight before you partake of this. And yes, as soon as you get it straight, then it's perfectly all right to partake. Let a man examine himself, says. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. That probably could scare a lot of people, couldn't it? But if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, and if you humble yourself before Him, examine your heart, and pray and ask for forgiveness. Thank you. Then it's okay, isn't it? For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. And when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. It says in Romans, there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. We do experience conviction, though, don't we? Anybody in here never experienced conviction? Never? I thought so, Ricky. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Lord, we thank you for your body that you gave to be broken, that you sacrificed for us, Lord. We just pray your blessing on this emblem. In Jesus' name, you may eat the bread. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Yeah, we do it once a month to remind ourselves. Because we need reminding, don't we? We don't do it every week because we don't want it to be commonplace. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Lord, we thank you for the blood that you shed on that cross for us that cleanses us from our sins. You may drink the cup. Linda?
Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name, Master, Savior, Jesus. Like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name.
Lord, once again we praise you. May our praise for you just remain in our hearts, Lord. May your word remain in our hearts. And may you remain in our hearts. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your love. We thank you, Lord, for all this represents that you did joyfully. For the joy set before you, you endured the cross. You knew that there's something beyond the cross, beyond our struggles, beyond our difficulties. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Go with us today, Lord.